Welcome to the New York Outdoor News Great Northeast Podcast. Every 2 weeks, we explore news and issues affecting hunters, anglers, and conservation across the northeastern United States. If you enjoy the content here, be sure to subscribe to our print or digital versions by calling 800-535-5191 or visit our website at outdoornews.com. Now, here's your host and a man who claims he's immune to buck fever, New York Outdoor News editor Dan Ladd.
This episode of the Great Northeast Podcast is brought to you by the Family Forest Carbon Program, a collaborative initiative created by two nonprofit organizations, the American Forest Foundation and the Nature Conservancy, assisting landowners in improving the health of their land with long-term sustainable forest management practices while providing guaranteed annual income. Learn more at familyforestcarbon.org. Greetings and welcome to the Great Northeast Podcast. I'm your host, Dan Ladd, editor of New York Outdoor News. Happy to be along and happy to have you along. Very happy this time of year because we are knocking on the door of hunting seasons here in New York and across the region. And by that, I mean big game seasons. We're about to get both a bear and deer season underway here in New York this weekend, starting Saturday, September 12th. I understand it's happening in other states. States like Connecticut and Massachusetts, I believe, have early seasons. And also when it comes to bear, there's some early seasons as well. So we're going to talk about all of that very shortly. First, a little bit more important matter. Nothing has changed since our last podcast regarding the search for Craig Streeter, a Putnam County, New York resident who has been missing in the Central Adirondacks since the beginning of August. So a little background here. His camper was found in Moose River Plains, site number 36, about midway through the area. And it hadn't been, looked like no one had been there for a while. I guess he was kind of a quiet guy, a secretive guy. And it took a while for him to even be reported missing. He was last seen August 2nd at the Stewart's shop at Indian Lake. And then he was reported missing around August 17th. So it's been, you know, at least 3 weeks now at the time of this podcast, going on a month, going on four since the search was out there. And we know these things are tough. Somebody wanders off, they get lost or whatever. It's hard to find them. But the search is continuing. If you have any information on this gentleman, again, he was last seen August 2nd in Indian Lake, the hamlet. And it sounds like he ventured on his camping trip from there and hasn't been seen since. His name is Craig Streeter. He's 73 years old, and he's from Putnam County, New York. And any help we could get with that, please reach out to the New York State Police, and a search is ongoing. Other than that, we're getting ready for hunting seasons, and that's what we're going to talk about when we come back right after this.
Are you an avid angler searching for the latest fishing news and tips? It's time to check out OutdoorNews.com. Get ready to reel in the freshest updates and expert advice from top anglers. Plus, you'll have access to the most up-to-date fishing reports, lake maps, lake reports, and more. Don't let the big one get away. Join OutdoorNews.com and reel in a world of fishing knowledge and expertise. Join today, OutdoorNews.com. Your passion, your news, your fishing journey.
Welcome back to the Great Northeast Podcast. I'm your host, Dan Ladd, editor of New York Outdoor News, and we're going to talk about big game seasons throughout the Northeast a little bit, especially here in New York. They're all coming up. I mean, what a great time, whether you're an archery hunter, and that includes crossbow or bow, muzzleloader, firearm. They're all shotgun. They're all something's going to happen somewhere pretty much in the next couple of months. It's what we like to call the most wonderful time of year. Here in New York, it gets underway this weekend, and I'll start with deer. One of the changes that was made this year in New York regarded expanding what they call the early September antlerless season. That was taking place in limited wildlife management units, mostly in western New York, a few kind of on the verge of central New York. That's been expanded. And the season begins on the 12th of September, and it runs through the 20th. It's a 9-day season. And the units that have been managed or added to this are 3P, 6P, 7F, 7H, 7J, 7R, 8H, 8R, 8S, and 9G. Again, they've been added to the special 9-day antlerless deer season in mid-September, which is about to open here in New York. In case you didn't know, there's a whole bunch more units that have unlimited /bonus deer management permits, also known as DOE permits, antlerless deer permits. 23 of them now have no deer management permit quota, which means if you get one there, you can apply for up to two of them when you're applying for a permit, as well as two in units that do have a quota. But if you get a permit in a unit that has no quota and you fill that permit, when you report that deer, especially if you use the app, the Hunt Fish New York app, you'll get another permit for that unit right away. You'll get it right away. So that's pretty cool. The other thing is you can transfer, you can have transferred to you an unlimited amount of deer management permits, antlerless deer permits here in New York. And then finally, of course, is the infamous earn a second buck system that we now have. If you harvest an antlerless deer, you automatically qualify for a second buck tag. And one of the things people continue to ask about this, which we'll clarify, is that you can use this tag during the rifle season. Now, in the past, if you were an archery or muzzleloader hunter in New York, you got a tag that it was basically an either-or tag. And if you hunted with both implements, you got another tag that was antlerless only. But anyways, that either-or tag had to be used during an archery or a muzzleloader season. You could not use that tag during the rifle season. However, with the new system, with the new earn a second buck system, if you harvest an antlerless deer, no matter how you do it, and that includes the Deer Management Assistant Program tags. If you've, say you're a landowner and you get these tags, or you provide them to other hunters, or you're a hunter who is able to use one, that qualifies as harvesting a doe to earn the second buck tag. And again, you can use that second buck tag in the rifle season. And that provides some incentive there, from what I understand. So we'll see how that plays out. But anyway, we've got the September antlerless season opening up here September 12th. And also, if you're a bear hunter here in New York, there's some real serious opportunities down in southeastern New York. Southern Catskills, a little bit of Hudson Valley. There's a whole bunch of units down there that have a bear season that I believe runs, it opens this weekend, and I think it runs through the 25th. It's a shorter season. It closes before the archery season opens, but it does provide some early opportunities down in the southeastern portion of New York. Now, a little side story on this. Last year, two Cornell University students took part in this season, harvested a black bear, brought it back to their dorm kitchen and processed it. Well, man, it took off from there. There was all kinds of, trouble that was started for no reason. They did nothing illegal. DEC came in and investigated. The bear was one entirely legal. There were no rules on campus about processing an animal in the kitchen. However, that's changed. Cornell University just released a statement this year in their guide for their students, their student guide. You cannot process animals in a kitchen and the facilities anymore. That's unfortunate. I mean, these kids did nothing wrong. They went out and took part in a season, harvested a bear in an area that really, you know, really could stand to have a lower population. You know, they're taking part in being game managers, and all they got out of it was some flack. I think among us in the hunting community, of course, we supported them, but boy, there were people who don't understand hunting who really, really let this bother them. But anyways, that's a little side story I wanted to share on the topic of bear hunting. And in the Adirondack region, we also have a bear season that begins on September 19th. Now, a few years ago, they changed the way things work in the northern zone, especially the Adirondacks. Once that season opens, and it's a rifle season, it does not close until the big game seasons end in the northern zone the first weekend in December. So if you're an Adirondack bear hunter, you can go at it starting September 19th in certain wildlife management units. It's not the entire northern zone. Let me point that out. The rest of the units that don't have a rifle season, however, do have an archery season in the northern zone that opens that same day. So bear season's really going to take off here in northern New York real quick, and also in southeastern New York even sooner on September 12th. The rest of it, there'll be a bow season that begins on October 1st along with the deer season, And then you can shoot, obviously, a bear during the regular big game season, whether it's shotgun or rifle season in New York. But one thing I want to point out here about black bears, and we're going to talk about their habitat a little bit, but this is just me talking now. As I look at the situation in southeastern New York and tying into Connecticut and New Jersey, which struggle with bear hunting. Both of those states struggle with bear hunting. I believe New Jersey is having a season again this year, at least in the northern part of the state, which is good. They face a lot of public backlash about it there. The governor has struggled with allowing it, but in recent years, they've also seen that it's kind of a necessity. Connecticut's a different story. Connecticut has different rules pertaining to bear hunting. And again, I'm not an expert. I'm not up to speed on them. I believe you have to be a landowner or demonstrate that you're having an issue with a bear for any bear hunting to take place. The problem is this carries over into southeastern New York, where we have a growing human population and also a growing bear population. The Hudson Valley, the Catskills, Southern Catskills, again, where this season takes place. I think that if something isn't done in this region, and it's not just New York, we're talking, again, Connecticut and in New Jersey here, we're going to have a problem with bears. And, you know, the big thing is I was speaking with a gal from Cornell a few years ago. We were talking about deer, actually, but it applies to bear. We have what's called exurbia. And you have that 100-acre farm that used to allow hunters on it. Maybe the landowner hunted on it. Anyways, they kept, you know, game populations in check. Maybe that 100-acre farm or woodlot is now subdivided into 8 or 10 woodlots. And they might be 10 acres or 15 acres or 5 acres. Anyways, either no hunting takes place or very little hunting takes place relative to what used to. So now you have less and less of that land being hunted. You have more people. And then one thing I'm going to say, and I've had bear hunters tell me this, is who wants to eat a bear that's living on in people's backyards, garbage, bird feeders, things like that? So you've got hunters that are more interested in going to the Catskills or the Adirondacks and shooting a bear that is eating acorns and ferns and, you know, black cherry and things like that, natural food sources, beech nuts if you can find them. So that's, you know, hunters are more interested in harvesting a bear that's eating natural foods, and who can blame them? It's more organic. But that's going to be a situation that I kind of foresee that. And again, that's me talking. And but I've heard people, others in the industry, be concerned about this. We'll see what happens. So, hey, if you get a chance to get out there and do a little bit of bear hunting in the near future, go for it. We're going to talk more about all this when we come back right after this.
There's a great program available for youth who love to hunt and fish. It's called the Outdoor News Junior Pro Team, and any youth 18 or under can join for free at jrproteam.com. JPT program showcases useful videos and tips to help encourage the next generation to become stronger anglers and hunters. It's a platform to celebrate and inspire those outdoor loving youth. Check out the photos of Outdoor News Junior Pro Team members on Instagram, Facebook, TikTok, and YouTube, and visit our jrproteam.com for more information.
Welcome back to the Great Northeast Podcast. I'm your host, Dan Ladd, editor of New York Outdoor News, and let's continue this bear discussion here. I just had a conversation with DEC's head biologist talking about black bears here in New York, Brendan Corian. And basically, I forgot that last year, the southern zone of New York had a record-breaking bear season. Over 1,200 black bears were taken. And that's well over the 5-year and 10-year average in the previous harvest. So the bear harvest is on the rise in the southern zone. The northern zone, it was above the 5- and 10-year average, but it was a little less than it has been in previous years. So he doesn't think there's going to be a state record this year, mainly because of all the food sources we just mentioned. There's quite a bit of acorns out there that hunters are reporting throughout the state. If you have oaks, if you go check them out, I know in my region, right in my own yard, where they're dropping like crazy. However, that does not mean that's what's happening everywhere. I've seen that more than once. I've seen an area at a certain elevation where acorns are dropping like crazy. Then you say you get up in the mountains, where I hunt in the Adirondacks, we may have a lot of oaks, but all of a sudden, for some reason up there, they're not producing acorns. Maybe it was a frost or something like that that got them in the spring and made a difference. Anyways, don't assume that because you're finding them in one place that they're necessarily in another. You got to get out there and check it out and do some scouting. That said, Corian does think it's going to be a pretty good bear season. He anticipates it being solid, just maybe not what it was last year, and that goes for both the northern zone and the southern zone. One thing we did talk about was beech nuts and the beech leaf disease, how it's really kind of having an impact on the, well, we just don't get the mass crop of beeches that we used to have. And bear especially rely on that beech nut crop. They thrive on it, and there's even been ties to their breeding cycle with the quality of a beech nut crop. And as that changes here in the Northeast, I think, you know, that could affect the bear, you know, how bears, their breed, their what they produce for cubs. We'll see how that plays out. But that's another interesting side story when it comes to bear hunting. So, and again, you know, we've got a season opening up here. Vermont has a season opening up. And I've actually got a friend of mine that is going to take place in the bear dogging season in Vermont. In parts of Vermont, you can actually run bears with a dog. Here in New York, you can only train bears with a dog. And that season's just about wrapping up. I think it's over. It usually starts right around early July. And you can train your dog to tree bears here in New York or in the Adirondacks. And there's a lot of people that come up from out of state to do just that because they live in a state where you can hunt bear with dogs, but you can't train. West Virginia comes to mind, even Canada. And so people come to this state to be able to train, and then New Yorkers go to their state to hunt with a dog. I don't know how much sense that makes. At one time, you used to be able to hunt bear with a dog in New York, but that changed, I believe, in the 1980s. And we had a letter writer in New York Outdoor News kind of spoke out against it pretty heavily. He felt that it kind of messed with deer in their habits, but I don't know much about that. We run letters. We respect everybody's opinion. Don't always agree with them, but we respect them, and that's what the newspaper exists for. So anyways, we printed that letter, and I've gotten some interesting comments from people on that. But again, I got some friends that are heading up into Vermont. I believe they're going to go up towards the Northeast Kingdom and chase some bears around with their dogs. And I've been on in the woods with them training the dogs, and let me tell you something. It made for an exciting day, a very hot day in the summer. I did that with a friend of mine a few years ago, and it was enlightening, and it was interesting. And boy, the dog covered some ground, I'll tell you that. But anyways, if you're getting out there doing some bear hunting, you know, be safe, enjoy it, and let us know how you do. We like to see those reader shots come in to our website, outdoornews.com/New York. Just click on the photos, submit a photo. And if you're successful in a bear hunt, we'd love to see some of those photos. When we come back, we're going to talk about some other hunting seasons that are coming up right after this.
Your land is your legacy, but keeping it healthy and thriving means caring for it now and in the future. The Family Forest Carbon Program can help you do right by your land with guaranteed income, help developing a forest management plan, and advice from experts. If you own 30 acres or more of forest land in Vermont, Massachusetts, or New York, you may be eligible to enroll in the Family Forest Carbon Program. Visit familyforestcarbon.org and enroll today.
Welcome back to the Great Northeast Podcast. I'm your host, Dan Ladd, editor of New York Outdoor News, and we're just sitting here talking about hunting seasons. This is a great time of year, and there's so much going on, and I certainly do not want to lower the value of small game hunting, because here in New York, Vermont, their squirrel season opens September 1st. We've got a Canada goose season going on that began September 1st in a lot of areas, a little bit later in a few others. And we've seen some goose photos coming into to New York Outdoor News. In fact, it looks like we're going to put one on the cover of the September 12th issue, which it'll be your September 18th issue, I'm sorry. And that you know, the people that enjoy this style of hunting really, really take to it, and it's good to see. And with that said, I want to share a story that came in on waterfowl from the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service regarding duck numbers this year and how much they're down. On September 1st, they released the the 2026 waterfowl status report, and it shows a slight decline in continental duck breeding from last spring, but total breeding population of ducks in the traditional survey area estimated at 33.44 million. That's a 2% decline from last year and 6% below the long-term average, according to the survey. So this dates back to 1955, and a lot of that area is the Dakotas and Montana, but there's also some Northeast numbers as well, and I will share them with you shortly. But first, overall, you know, taking a look at mallards, North America's, you know, the most abundant duck and favorite of many, and a real gauge on all this, there's an estimated 5.9 million. That's 11% below 2025 and 26% below the long-term average. This is the lowest since 1993. The 2026 estimate is definitely a lot different than in 2014 when there was 10.9 million mallards. That was the all-time high. So, boy, that's definitely eyebrow-raising. Blue-winged teal, estimate 4 million, similar to 2025, but 22% below the long-term average. Gadwalls, however you say that, 2.4 million, 13% above, actually. Pintails, estimated northern pintails 1.99 million, similar to 2025, but 48% below the long-term average, and it goes on and on. Quick look at the Northeast numbers. Mallards, down 2% from 2025, 23% long-term. American black ducks down 6, but up 6 from that. Green-winged teal down 6 from 2025 and down 12% overall. And golden eyes are down 7% and there's no change. So if you get a chance to pick up a copy of New York Outdoor News or go to our website, outdoornews.com, if you're a subscriber, you can read this story. It's pretty detailed and a little eye-opening, again, especially if you're a waterfowl hunter. One thing about waterfowl, small game I want to add, and I know it happens in other states, and it definitely happens in New York. We've got some youth seasons coming up. They're spread out across the state. The ones in northern New York take place the weekend of September 26th and 27th, and you can hunt both waterfowl and pheasant in some areas of the state on that day. And for youth, that is, ahead of the October 1st opener of pheasant. And I should point out that September 26th is also National Hunting and Fishing Day. You know, you don't hear much about that anymore. It began in 1972. The Nixon administration passed a law establishing that. And again, you just don't hear much talk about it anymore. When I was young, it used to be kind of a big deal. You know, we used to get together and go to a local club. I can remember one of my local gun clubs having a mini trade show. There was guys there selling guns and people were shooting rifles and shotguns and just a lot of BSing going on. But there was, when I say a lot, there was a lot of people. And now, you know, we don't hear much about it. In New York, there's a couple of clubs that do outstanding work with this, one down in Rockland County. They always have a big program on National Hunting and Fishing Day. And the state, actually, it's a free fishing day in New York. You can actually fish for free on that day. And so that's another good thing. It's one of several free fishing days. But we don't hear much about it. I'd like to see that change. And next year, we're going to be bringing a group of outdoor writers from New York State into my area. And we're looking at doing something on National Hunting Fishing Day, which should be pretty cool. One more thing I want to talk about, and this is in the state of Pennsylvania, and this has to do with changes to the elk season. And again, this is a story in our sister publication, Pennsylvania Outdoor News. Now, you can actually hunt elk in the state of Pennsylvania. I don't know if you knew that or not. They have a limited elk hunt every year in a certain part of the state, and there are some non-resident opportunities out there. And among the changes that's in this story in the current edition of Pennsylvania Outdoor News, the September 11th edition, it highlights some changes. It's more expensive for out-of-state hunters to apply because they also need to purchase a non-resident hunting license. The number of out-of-state hunters who can win the lottery is limited for the first time to 10%. So that's a change for this year. Let's see, $11.97 of the application fee is necessary to apply for all seasons, but The big thing it looks like is there's a new rifle elk season being added during the October 3rd to 11th, and each season is longer. The elk hunt zones were modified, and the old elk hunt zone 1, the open zone, was incorporated into other zones. And there are 15 more bull elk permits for this fall compared to last fall. And boy, I hear people talk about going to Pennsylvania. Even if they're not hunting, they go to the areas where the elk are prevalent, and they listen for them. They look for them. They take pictures of them. It's really becoming a tourist attraction as well as a hunting opportunity. And I think that's pretty unique. And hats off to the wildlife authorities in the state of Pennsylvania for what they've done with elk. I think that's really quite an accomplishment. And it's on my bucket list to get down there, and maybe not for a hunt, but at least to go check out the elk and be able to see them, photograph them, listen to them, whatever it is. Getting back to the hunting seasons, again, we're in mid-September now. Our next podcast, we will be knocking on the door of the October hunting seasons, which is pretty much just seems like every day or every week something opens up. October 1st is kind of a holiday in New York. That's when the archery season opens across the southern zone for whitetails. It opens in the northern zone September 27th. And there's also turkey seasons opening sporadically throughout the month of October. But we're getting ahead of ourselves there. Right now we're focusing on September. Again, we've got an antlerless deer hunt coming up in parts of western New York, central New York, and a bear season starting September 12th down in southeastern New York, with the Adirondack black bear season opening September 19th and other states in the Northeast following suit. Check them out. Get on out there. Hunt those black bears. Hunt those whitetails. Hunt those small games, ducks, geese. Just go hunting and have a good time. And be sure to send your photos to outdoornews.com/New York. Photo submission, we'd love to see them. Send them along. Most of all, if you're getting out there and enjoying the early part of the hunting season, we want you to be safe, obey the laws, and enjoy yourself, and maybe even participate in some of those youth hunts. We're going to sign off for now for New York Outdoor News and the Great Northeast Podcast. Here's wishing everyone's got a big buck on their meat pole and a big fish in their net. I'm Dan Ladd.
Missed a past episode of the New York Outdoor News Great Northeast Podcast? You can find previous programs at outdoornews.com or via your favorite podcast streaming platform. And for the rest of the story on the topics we cover on this program, get yourself a subscription to Outdoor News. Simply call 800-535-5191 or visit us at outdoornews.com. And don't forget to join us again here in 2 weeks to talk everything out of doors. Thanks for listening to the New York Outdoor News Great Northeast Podcast.